Chapter 6. An Old Debt Remembered. The chill of the dark moor abated, swallowed by a subterranean swelter. It smelled of damp and animal sweat, a fever heat. Down here, wherever here was, the air grew thick with a fug of cloyingly fecund earth. Spores hung in unseen updrafts, clinging like dust motes. A greasy film settled on Vulcan's warplate, reaching into joints, trying to befoul them. Standing perfectly still, the Primarch got his bearings. The tower had gone, and a burrow had replaced it. A large earthy cavern surrounded him, low, close, choking. Roots protruded from the cavern walls, osseous and calcified. Not the natural reaching tendrils of trees. Skulls protruded too, plugged into the mud like bony mushrooms, pale sockets staring, rictus grins on every fleshless face. Vulcan recognized them. How could he not? Krail of Themis, Hrundin of Hesiod, Ildra of Ithonian, brought low to Ignia, the labyrinth of the Nocturnian underworld. And they were not alone. Every warrior who had come on Vulcan's ill-fated quest resided here, beheaded and trapped in the earth. Their names echoed in the earth hall, briefly alarming the Primarch. Vulcan had not realized he had spoken them aloud. "This is not Ignia," he said boldly. A challenge issued to the heady darkness in front of him. He hefted his hammer. "And this is not Krail." He smashed the skull apart. The others lasted a few seconds longer, until Vulcan had turned every skull into bone fragments.
"Are you here, Shadestalker?"
shouted Vulcan.
"I have returned."
The end of the chamber led away into darkness, still and silent, but for the faintest sound of metal scraping against bone. Vulcan knew it well. The Hunter of Heads was hard at work. Vulcan lowered Erdracule and followed the sound. Darkness fell about him like a cloak, neither comforting nor malevolent. It soon yielded to an eerie hemispherical sanctum, a cavern lined with rank upon rank of flensed skulls, their empty eye sockets pointed inwards towards their skulking slayer. He squatted atop a mound of heads, some bare to the bone and stained in blood, others with flesh still attached. Their keeper busied himself, rooting amongst his trophies and dexterously skinning them with an immense curved blade. His hair was long, dark and lank, with two bones impaled crossways through a ragged topknot. Tattered scraps of cloth clung to his frame and wizened limbs, the latter rangy but taut with unnatural strength. Runes marked his skin, glowing dully like sickly emerald. As Vulcan stepped beyond the threshold, Karadruak glanced up from his labours, a second pair of arms revealed as his body slowly unfurled. His eyes were hollow pits of fathomless black, promising an eternity of agony. The wretched creature smiled, a repugnant expression, then pointed with a long taloned finger to a gap in his legion of skulls. He clutched a head still, its pallid flesh clinging to the bone, but swiftly rolled it between his four upper limbs like a spider fashioning silk. Rather than spinning, however, his intent was quite the opposite. In a few short moments, a gleaming skull sat in Karadruak's hands.
"A place for me, Shade," said Vulcan calmly. "I am honoured, but shall have to decline. Instead, I will need passage through the gate. I know it is here. You've hidden it behind this shadow. You will reveal it now."
A harsh choking sound haunted the chamber. It took Vulcan a moment to realize it was laughter. All the while, Karadruak moved neither his lips nor his limbs, but the air around him crackled, and suddenly he was gone. Vulcan moved fast, raising Erdracule as a long curved blade raked across its haft. He barely saw the Shade Stalker. Karadruak had vanished almost as he appeared. Vulcan turned and intercepted a beheading blow that fell so hard his ears rang. Again, Kerodruak vanished. A third attack jarred the hammer haft once more. A fourth grazed Vulcan's arm as he raised it in defense. Every blow was a killing strike aimed at the neck. Kerodruak did not wound his prey. He slew them outright, a hunter of heads, a decapitator of rare and gruesome talent. And he did not yield to frustration. Patiently, relentlessly, he wore at the Primarch, vanishing and reappearing, flitting from shadow to shadow, from above, from below. No direction of attack was barred to him. Slowly, Vulcan began to tire. Fatigue gnawed at him, but whatever evil lurked in this place was draining him too. Souls, he realized. The eyeless sockets of the staring skulls had some anima left. Everyone had turned to regard him. Ice coated the Primarch's armor, reaching beyond ceramite and adamantium. The laughter returned, dripping with ancient malice. Kerodruak sensed the end.
"None defy me," he said, a half-heard echo. "You could not escape my blade forever."
"You should know, Shadestalker," Vulcan said, slightly breathless, "that I cannot die. Not by your hand."
He had no idea if that was true anymore, but it felt reassuringly bold. Vulcan remembered. He remembered the hunters following him into the lair. He remembered an arachnid thing scuttling across the ceiling on six rangy limbs. He remembered Krayl's head falling from his shoulders, the tribesman's face cold and dumbstruck. Eight had made it this far. Many more had entered the rift. None of them got any further. Every warrior of Nocturne died, beheaded. Belgarad had been the last. He had wrapped a cloth around his hunter's spear and doused it with drakespit. The volatile substance gave off a noisome reek that had stung the nostrils. The blade had severed Belgarad's neck just as he lit the rag, and fire and light flared ferociously.
"Belgarad," uttered Vulcan, provoking a moment's hesitation from Kerodruak. "Does he remember that name?" wondered Vulcan. "The one who hurt him."
The Primarch's fingers traced the ancient sigils wrought into the haft of the hammer. He shut his eyes as he found the one engraved into the icon of a blazing sun, his last glimpse that of a spider descending.
"You never did like the light."
The blind flare fashioned into Erdrakul's head exploded into searing magnesium brightness. Kerodruak shrieked in agony. The scent of withered old flesh burned on the fetid air. Eyes still closed, Vulcan swung with Erdrakul and heard the crunch of bone. Daring to look, half-blind, he saw the hunter of heads scurrying back into shadow, two of his limbs hanging loose by his sides and leaving a trail of dark blood in his wake. Stung, Kerodruak folded his other limbs protectively against his body. As the light died, the chamber faded with it. First it thinned to gossamer, then a dry mist. The skulls disappeared. The chamber disappeared. Kerodruak lingered longest, the hollows of his eyes pitiless and already yearning for revenge. And then he was gone, and only a black cube remained. It levitated above the ground, slowly turning in the air, sparks of dark lightning cascading off its iridescent surface. The shadow field, or at least its cause. Vulcan destroyed it. Gargo circled the gunship around again, heavy bolters roaring a brutal chorus as they tore up the avian flocks trying to bring him down. He had come for the others almost as soon as Vulcan had vanished, the enemy having retreated enough for him to set the gunship down. An engine stuttered, spitting blood and greasy feathers across the side of the smeared viewing pane. Gargo altered his angle of approach as the suicidal birds arrowed for the turbofans. Claw marks raked against cockpit glass, obscuring his view but not penetrating. Dark bodies bounced across the prow and hull, their tiny bones breaking on impact. As he pulled the gunship into a sharp banking manoeuvre, he felt Zytos's gauntleted hand on his shoulder.
"There,"
Zytos said, and pointed through the forward viewing pane. A spear of white soared up into the sky, brighter than daylight. Gargo engaged the flare shields, tinting the armour glass. The tower collapsed, shattering like fluted glass exposed to the perfect resonance. It fell straight down, the individual shards like drops of rain suspended in time, then abruptly released before dissipating into nothing. A silhouette stood in the light, one arm aloft, a hammer clutched in his hand.
Vulcan!
Beaten, but unbowed. The Primarch's armor had been split in a dozen places. Wearied, he arched his neck to find the descending gunship as it came for him. A tempest grew as the light finally died, small at first and snapping with eldritch energies, but unravelling. A cold wind blew against Vulcan's back, encrusting his shoulder guards with hoarfrost and kicking up his drakescale cloak like a banner. Zaitos voxed Abidemi in the hold.
Brother, we have him!
The ramp lowered as the gunship came in hard, fighting the wind. Ice began to obscure the viewing pane.
Make it fast!
Gargo warned, manoeuvring the vessel into an about turn as Vulcan staggered across the moor. Flicking a pair of switches on the control panel, he auto-reloaded the forward heavy bolters. The shadows, having fled the moment the Primarch had entered the tower, returned. As the ramp slammed down, Zaitos had already gone back into the hold. A sustained bolter salvo roared from within, chopping either side of Vulcan as he clambered aboard. The heavy bolters attached to the cockpit roared too. The shadows weaved, spectral, serpentine, but exercised much less caution in their eagerness to kill the wounded Primarch. Bolt rounds tore them apart, smoke and ink and shattering glass erupting with every detonation.
We have him!
Zaitos bellowed, firing one-handed, careless of his inaccuracy, and hammering the back of the side of the hold with a clenched fist. Sunk to one knee, also shooting from the hip and with one hand, Abidemi reached for Vulcan's arm and helped him inside, even as Gargo fed all power to the engines. They shot straight up, a desperate, dizzying acceleration that shook the hull. Grappling with the sheer, sudden ascent, Gargo took the ship around in a wide arc as the tempest hammered and pulled.
Into the tempest!
Shouted Vulcan, nodding to Abidemi. The ramp had barely closed behind him, sealing out the worst of the storm. The hull trembled, tortured metal screeching in protest. A bolt came loose, a piece of ablative ceramite stripped away, caught by the wind. More ferocious than the Eldridge gates below Deathfire, this one threatened to rip them in two. A lightning strike sheared the barrel of the dorsal-mounted battle cannon in half. A second almost transfixed the right wing.
Now, Eigen!
Roared the Primarch.
Now, or this has been for nothing!
From the city, shapes were stirring, moving rapidly, visible through the fouled viewing pane. Not shadows, but skimmers, entire flocks of barbed, skiff-like vessels thronged with the silhouettes of warriors. Ahead, the storm grew fiercer, jagged lightning coursing erratically from its eye.
Merciful Deathfire!
Breathed Gargo, and flew straight for it.